Hi, I'm Ben Riga, Platform Advisor on the Windows Azure Platform Evangelism team. And I bumped into a few folks in the hall and brought them into this tiny little corner here where we're just chatting about what were their impressions of PDC this year and what do they get from PDC. So why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Richard Prodger, Technical Director at Active Web Solutions based in the UK.
I'm Rob Fraser, I look after cloud computing at Riskmetrics Group.
So in this case, I'm the one with the accent.
That's right.
So which sessions have you been attending?
Well, most of the Azure sessions, to be honest. I mean, we've been working with Azure now for about 18 months. So we're quite advanced in our thinking, but it was just really interesting to get to a point, I think, where the platform is about to be released, it's stabilized, we can understand what the billing is going to be.
Right.
So we can really now start to put our commercial model around all the interesting techie stuff that we've been doing. So that's an interesting
aspect
for us. Our application's ready.
Is Azure ready?
Well, on the face of it, it seems to be. I mean, I think, you know, we've had some really late drops of CTPs and some updates which have given us a few challenges in getting our application ready. But that it does seem to be there now, and we should see bills start to come through, although free, from the 1st of January.
Right.
And we'll get a good handle on exactly how that mechanism is going to work, which is key for us now. I think we're pretty comfortable with the stability of the platform.
I'd add to that. I think one of the recent key things for us has been the monitoring and logging and provisioning APIs.
Diagnostics in the latest
SDK. Because for our solution, we're integrating a very large number of work roles into our on-premise solution.
Right.
And we have to make that operationally slick and integrated. Right? We need to have the same level of control and visibility off-premise as we do on-premise, and that API is a key part of that. So for us, that's a key part of engineering a production solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we face exactly the same challenges. Yeah. We don't have the requirements to have quite as many nodes as you guys do, but the application that we've built requires some really tight control and monitoring of actually what's going on inside the roles as well. So we've wrapped that with a management piece around on top of the API that's already there.
Right.
It was great to actually see that finally come out this week. So.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the interesting things about the maturity of the platform now. I mean, it's difficult for us to comment on history because we started on this road with you in July.
Right.
So we're 4 months into what has been a fairly intensive development and product evolution sort of exercise. But it's the point that we reach a point where we can now, from two specific sort of directions, see ourselves moving into heavyweight commercial production in January, February time. One is the fact that we now got the APIs and the capability on the platform. Mm-hmm. The second is that the commercial models, particularly the SLAs and the support models around it, are maturing as well. So it's moving into the area where we can consider putting sort of mission critical processing up on the cloud in that time frame.
Yeah.
So is that a highlight that the Azure is ready? Is that one of the things you're
taking
away?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
That's right.
Any other highlights? Sessions that maybe you thought were really interesting that stuck out?
One that was key for us was...
I mean, mine is not until later today.
That's right.
Yeah, I went to Justin Smith's talk the end of yesterday. How to secure REST-based services using Access Control Service. Mm-hmm. That was really key for us because as we take our application forward and we endeavour to roll it out across the planet, fingers crossed, we've got plans for a whole range of other applications which are going to be consumer-focused as opposed to business-focused. Mm-hmm. So we need to have some mechanisms whereby we can engage with that community without having to create our own access control capability and yet another user database and so on.
Right.
There's some really cool stuff coming there now. They've simplified the API enormously, so if we want to do enterprise integration, the ADFS version 2 stuff is really, really smart. You have to make no changes to your service code. But when we get into the consumer space, we've got things like Facebook and Google IDs and Open IDs will be integrated into that piece, which means we can then start to address a broader consumer market without having to build yet another user database. So that was a really cool thing
you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, a key thing, definitely a key thing for us.
I think, I mean, just talking more from a business side, rather than the technical side, found Diane O'Brien's session yesterday quite interesting around the SLAs and the pricing, simply because there was a lot of discussion there of discounts and SLAs and pricing and so on. But one of the key things at the beginning of the talk is this kind of quantification of the kind of operational and load models which work and don't work and are good fits to the cloud model and the total cost of operation and the sort of reduced investment benefits you get from that. And that was important. I think it's important to start focusing cloud now as being not just a technical platform and it's for the developers, but actually getting under the skin of the decision makers and looking at the real business value of scaling out to the cloud for certain kinds of solutions. And I think that's an interesting part of the debate. I think the debate around cloud has now moved beyond a narrow discussion of platform and of maturity, and it's much more now moving into the area of, okay, what is the business benefit here, and what buy-in we're going to get from business owners in terms of putting stuff off-premise.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I'm going to take away as well is that what seems to be emerging for me is that Microsoft have got the message about enterprise integration with the cloud. That certainly wasn't there when it was launched, and we've seen over the last few months that starting to appear. But there were one or two sessions here and also in the keynotes as well where they explained some fairly interesting things about how we're going to connect to databases back on premise and how you handle communication and so on. And that's starting to emerge, and with the ADFS Federation services as well, we mentioned a minute ago, starting to embrace how, because not every enterprise, yours, mine, or anybody else's, is going to suddenly wholesale take this stuff and stick it in the cloud, whether it's yours or somebody else's. It's going to be a gradual migration, and having the tool sets there and having the capability there to make that happen. Because I think we, certainly in our business, we aspire to move many of our capabilities into the cloud, but we build software for enterprises, so they're not going to want to do that easily. So we've got to have a really good story, and you've got to have a really good story about how we can integrate those two things and do it securely and safely. So,
that's right.
And that's starting to appear, so it's good.
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's going to be some of the low-level engineering innovations which have really enabled that.
Yeah.
And so for us, for example, on high-performance computing, it's the work we'll do with the HPC server team around extending out the ability of SOA broker to use Azure resources and local on-premise resources sort of seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And for the HPC community, that's a really interesting set of innovations.
Yes.
Well, one of the announcements you made, kind of a different topic, was around data as a service. Dallas, is that something that you think you'll be touching on or using in the future develop?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk. We're actually part of the CTP. So,
oh, you are already.
Yeah, we've offered a couple of data sets up as part of the CTP. One is around carbon disclosure data. So for a set of companies, we're providing the data we hold on their carbon footprint. Another is governance data around North American financials. Mm-hmm. So, again, a set of factors around the quality of corporate governance, board independence, around North American financials, very much from the point of view of public disclosure, some of the private data which we previously held. So we're part of the CTP, and we're really excited about Dallas. We think it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, no, I'd second that. I mean, we don't have any projects that are kind of in that space right now, but it has got my mind thinking. We certainly over a few beers last night. There were some interesting conversations going on. I think that we have a particular problem in the UK around this space because of the UK and the EU's desire to control data a little bit more perhaps than we do here in the US. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be a challenge in terms of getting those kinds of data sets in. I mean, there's plenty of public data, but a lot of the stuff is going to be a bit harder to get hold of. But one of the things we were talking about last night was whether Microsoft is going to give consideration to allowing the community to contribute data, because I think that could be a really interesting angle on this. I mean, I was talking to Clemens Vasters, and he was saying that he worked in an organisation where they were really anal about people's titles, like Mr. and Mrs. and so on, the Reverend, Your Holiness, and if they compiled a list of 2,000 of these, 2,000 titles, and then multilingual and so on. Now that may seem like a trivial thing. But just about every website where you want to, have that, you want to have that as a free data set somewhere on. So it's those kinds of things
really
the community.
Right, sure.
But the community's could contribute that for that kind of thing.
And here's the thing, though. I think the key thing for me about Dallas is the idea that it's the start of these of a move to data platforms in the cloud.
Mm.
Right? And why is that important? It's that we can't move with invisible technology terabytes and petabytes of data around on demand.
Right.
So if you have large community-relevant stores of data on the cloud, what will happen is that the processing and the applications, the analytics will cluster around that data.
Yes.
So for Microsoft, a fantastic platform play. Because if you can get large-scale data on the cloud, it's just kind of drawing community of users and analytics around that data.
Yeah.
So in a way, the way that in Web 2.0 and in the web generation, it was content was king, and you have to get content here for click-throughs. Data is everything with cloud.
Yes.
Data is the draw. Large-scale stores of data that are relevant for community, whether they're community contributed or publicly disclosed data, is absolutely the draw for cloud. And I think for me, that's the key thing about the Dallas announcement. The ubiquitous access and availability of Dallas data via SQL Server and Excel and Visual Studio and so on is great, and it gives you a draw through of that data onto your properties. But the key thing is that idea that we're looking at data analytics platforms in the cloud and on a large scale, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, and I think the opportunity to innovate with that data as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was mentioned in the keynote, but I forget the guide from the federal government, but
yeah.
I think, you know,
yeah.
I think they're just ideas out there that we've not even really thought of yet,
right.
And the ability to mash up this data and join it in different ways that people haven't thought of, and do some really interesting things.
Yeah, so. And again, it's quite easy to get excited. I can get very excited about it.
It's hard to get excited about data, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't get out much. But it's that exact idea. It's the disclosure. It's the empowerment of individuals to potentially get access in using technologies they already use on the desktop to large amounts of government, public, otherwise private data, or data which they could get, but they never have the ability, the time, the capability to properly analyse. Sort of format and they can get access to it. Then you could see how communities of individuals interested with particular causes or beliefs could start analysing that data, put other data back into the cloud around what they've discovered.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes an engine for change.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I think in the bigger picture, sort of what Vivek Kundra is getting at, I think, is that particularly with governments and with large public bodies, you could see how the availability of that data and putting it up on public clouds could start driving a lot of change.
Yes.
And I think this is one of the really exciting things.
Yeah.
So we started Dallas as being a piece of technology to integrate with Excel and Visual Studio, and we could end up talking about social, you know, forces for social change. So so cloud, data and cloud, I think, is a big player, and that's what's come out of PDC.
I love to see this passion. So you've been here for almost 3 days now.
Mm-hmm.
Worthwhile?
Yeah.
Are you taking ideas back? Or what do you have new business models, new businesses, new products, new services that you're going to start working on come Monday when you get back to the office?
It always takes me 3 or 4 days, and probably the plane journey home, which is about 12 hours, to actually assimilate everything that's going on. And I'm here with a colleague, and we'll spend, when you're sat next to someone who you respect and you've got 12 hours, you've got to think of things to talk about. So having spent 3 days here, we'll be talking about that. He bumped into my colleague Rob. He bumped into Patrick Dussard, who's the guy behind the CLR, and Rob's particularly interested in Lisp and L-sharp and what they're doing in that kind of space. And just 15 minutes with Patrick gave him 3 months worth of thinking time now to go off and do interesting things. So that whole networking piece is really important to me. I bumped into some people here I haven't seen since the last conference, whenever that was. And it's just fires you up to think, oh, well, great, you know, we can go off down this particular route. But nothing specific other there right now about what I'm going to do tomorrow, but lots and lots of ideas churning around in the head. Yeah.
That's right. I think for me, one of the interesting things was my first PDC. I've really enjoyed the experience. It's the networking opportunities, the chance to talk to some of the senior guys, the senior thinkers about where this technology can head.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly the thought process behind the kind of announcements we've seen. That's been one of the most engaging things of this week.
Fantastic.
That's been really worthwhile.
The Zia party was cool.
It was. That was superb. Yeah,
flashing glasses with the light underneath. Yeah,
that was really good. Yeah.
A little bleary-eyed after that one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, let's not go into any details. Well, thank you, Rob. Thank you, Richard. Thanks for chatting with us for a few minutes.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for watching.